Hi, it's Wade. I'm back with Indoor Small Cell Background today to talk about really small cell deployments, because in 2015, small cells are still taking off indoors. And outdoors, they're moving ahead, as we all know. It's mostly Verizon Wireless. Thank God for Verizon Wireless. They're the pioneers in the industry. They're taking all the arrows to get this cost-effective and to help us do it right, indoors and outdoors. But indoors, everyone's been doing it. I mean, AT&T, even though they said no small cells, they're still doing the indoor stuff. Even Sprint's doing a little bit of indoor. And I know Verizon's doing quite a bit. So let me get on with it. I just wanted to get into it because I know the indoor stuff is a big deal. And to give you some background, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about these different indoor small cell vendors. Well, let me tell you something. Before they're going to go on a carrier's network, they have to be tested and approved. You don't just throw it out there and plug it in. It's not plug and play into a carrier's network. The carriers treat their network like a delicate flower. They want to make sure that everything is tested, approved, and plays nice with everything else in the network before it touches their network. That's why they have labs. That's why there's a lead time. And devices go through the same thing, like your cell phone, anything from the iPhone to any Droid device. And I mean, any company, Huawei, Apple, and you have Samsung, and soon you'll have, I guess, Nokia. Nokia is going to be back into it. I just want you to realize that before anything touches a network, it's got to be tested. The network is very important to these carriers. It's very delicate. Just think, for selfish reasons, if somebody plugs something in and it gets on the network and it takes down even a site, think how bad that is. Carriers have enough problems without dealing with that. They want 100% uptime, at least five nines, 99.999%. With that, you know, they have other issues, power, storms, backhaul, you know, fiber cuts, things like that. So let's get back to the indoor small cell. We'll start very small. Like if a home or a very small business needs an indoor small cell, they're going to get a little femto cell. It's going to be plug and play. They're going to plug it into the router. If they have a cable modem or DSL or whatever, they're going to plug it in. It's going to work. There's really no consideration. It's like plugging in Wi-Fi at your office. They might want cell coverage because that might be the only phones they have. You know, landlines are going by the wayside. So they'll plug it in, boom, it's going to work. You really don't need an installer for that. But I thought I'd cover it. And the thing that it does, it usually, when they plug it in, it goes back to a server, which could be part of the SUN, the self-organizing network server, where it actually will configure the unit, the small cell. And this is also common in bigger small cells too, and outdoor. This is what everyone's trying to get to, plug and play. Not everyone. Most people want plug and play. Some people prefer to configure it themselves just for security reasons, but you want it as easy to deploy as possible, and that's one way to do it. So there, now you know about a home or a small business. Let's go into enterprise. Enterprise, or a large building or a stadium or something like that, you could put in the standalone small cells. If it's 4, 5, or 10, generally that's what they do. They just put it in, they run it to the company's router, it configures, boom, it's up, it's running, everybody's happy. However, for larger deployments and larger businesses, they could have the BBU, like a host BBU somewhere in the basement. The host BBU would be, I say basement, could be a telco room, anywhere where all the data connections are, you know, where there's backhaul. Let's go over the BBU first. So you're going to have to know how to install that, configure it, and bring it up. And it might be pre-configured, but you're going to have to install it and bring it up. You're going to have to plug it into a backhaul. Whether you use the, if it's a large company and you use their backhaul and you just connect it into one of their main routers, or if you're running in your own backhaul, like say in a stadium, I would imagine if Verizon Wireless has their own stuff, they would run in their own backhaul, probably fiber and something big like that. And the reason I say stadium, because there, that's very public, very much on display, and it's a big deal to make sure you get that right. Let's say with that, you do BBU, and then you're going to have to run some type of cabling out to the radio heads, whether it's Cat5, Cat6. Normally, it'd be something like that. Could be fiber. You could run fiber out to the radio heads. And this would be your front haul. We talked about backhaul. Backhauls from the host BBU back to the, let's say, the network, through the internet, through the cloud, whatever. But the front haul is from the BBU to the remote radio heads. And that's what you're going to worry about here. Could be fiber, could be Cat5. But what you're going to have to know is, for an enterprise, for a building, it's normally Cat5. Why? Because you have PoE in a building. You can run power over Cat5 to a radio head. That's sort of what I want to concentrate on today, because when we're talking outdoor, it could be either or. Like in a stadium setting where you have indoor and outdoor, they would run fiber because it's heavy, heavy usage. But in an enterprise, a building, say, you know, some large building with a large customer, and I don't know who's big anymore. Let's say someone who would be heavy cell phone usage would be like, let's say an IBM in a building setup like in New York City, or something like Trump, one of his businesses. So something like that, you would probably have Cat 5. And the reason you would probably have Cat 5 over fiber running to the radio heads, it's not as heavy usage as it would be in a stadium. So you would probably be fine with Cat 5. And also you can run power that way. So you don't need to have an outlet or plugs or run extension cords everywhere you put a small cell in. PoE is very important. So one, know your equipment. Can it handle PoE? Two, can the router provide power? Does the router have PoE ports that can provide power? Three, if the router has PoE ports, what type of power does it have? There's high power and low power, and it has to match up with your small cell. Off the top of my head, some indoor small cells are low power, but there are a few high power units. It's important. You need to know. You need to ask the questions before you get there, okay? You also need to know if you have to run outlets everywhere you're putting in a small cell, you're going to need an electrician. It really affects the pricing of the job. Even if you have to run extension cords. And let me tell you something. If you have to run extension cords, normally they may have plugs in the ceiling. I've seen that. But normally the plugs are down where, you know, people can use them. So you may have to run an extension cord from the ceiling down the wall and then plug it in somewhere like in a hallway or an office or something like that. That's fine. Doesn't look pretty. You know that. But I just want to give you guys a heads up. You need to know the power situation before you deploy because it will grossly affect your pricing. Okay. Hopefully the design guys thought of that. And that's the other thing I want to bring up is the design ahead of time. Now I talk about RF design a lot about with placement of the small cells. With RF design, they'll know where to place it, but you also need a site design, right? The site design is going to be someone that goes out and actually does a site survey normally. I mean, maybe you can do it all from the drawing, which is what a lot of people do, and that's fine. But you also need to know where your power is coming from, where you're going to mount. The type of walls really help, which you do have to get that from a drawing. Like, are they drywall walls or are they block walls? Is there some reason you can't get penetration in a particular area? I like doing a site walk just because you're very familiar with it. You get to meet the people ahead of time and so on. Normally, the installer should do the inspection or the survey, let's say. So a site survey is, I think, very important in small cells. Whether you'll get to do it or not, I don't know. Everyone's worried about cost. Everyone wants to save every dime they can. And if they can take every shortcut, that's fine, as long as the installation is done properly the first time. If you're that good, go for it. I want to talk about the radio heads. You're going to put in remote radio heads. Let's use that as an assumption. Because it's a large enterprise installation, let's say it's several floors on a building, four or five floors. Now, with the host BBU, you could run home runs back to the host. That would mean Cat 5 all the way back to the host. Normally, you have like, I think it's 100 meters, so you have a 300-foot, let's say 330-foot limitation. That sounds like a lot, but if you're in a large building, several floors, you don't know where your telco room's at, it can be a serious problem if it's over 300 foot. Delays, problems, synchronization, and just getting the data there, and even the power over Ethernet will suffer. That's another thing. If you have power over Ethernet, is there a limitation on how far you can run power? Do you run Cat 5? Do you run Cat 6? And so on. Remote radio heads, make sure you have power. Make sure you know the distance. And there's a couple ways to do it. They're either going to do home runs, which is how I started this, or you can go right from a router, depending upon your equipment. I would imagine a lot of equipment now, you can just go through a router inside a building and connect to it. Long as the router has PoE and your equipment's PoE, it's just a consideration that you need to think about up front. And it's something that if someone does a design, they're going to talk to the company if you're using the company's routers up front. If you're like with a big carrier and you're going to put in your own routers, then you will need to know what your equipment is. But if it's designed like that, soup to nuts, then you're fine. Because what you can do with that is, what you will know about that is that you will have complete control over everything. So you should have the right equipment for everything. So you should know exactly how it's going to be installed prior to it being installed. You should know exactly what the equipment will do prior to working on all the equipment. The only other thing when you're installing it, antenna direction matters. It's very easy indoors, down a hallway if it's an Omni. Sometimes you have stealth units that look like a fire detector. Sometimes they're co-located with a fire detector. And then maybe you'll have something that looks like a light or just like a ceiling panel, something like that. A lot of antennas are very stealthy. it's something to think about, because you don't want it to be obvious. And people, you know, they see a regular antenna, they think RF, they think they're being radiated. They don't understand that the ERP below 5 watts is more than safe. And in fact, I think many of these indoor small cells are just not even a watt, right? They're very low power. You can't get that through some people's heads. One other consideration, I want you to think long and hard about this. Does the small cell that you're working with make a lot of fan noise? I talk about noise, and in this case, I don't mean PIM, I don't mean interference, I don't mean RF noise. I mean actual fan noise that people can hear. People hear fans, they don't like it if you're in an office setting. They're on the phone, they want to talk to people, they want to get things done. They can't deal with a fan buzzing all day. You need to really think about this. If the radio head has a loud fan in it, it's going to be a problem. You are going to have complaints. Are they going to blame the cat? Well, I don't know who they'll blame, right? But chances are you, if you're an installer, deployer, designer, are going to hear the complaint that the customer or the end user is going to have. They can't deal with a lot of noise. You need to be very aware and upfront with that. If it's in a hallway, you can probably deal with it. Might make people nervous. They'll guess, they'll be curious what it is. They might look at it. You know how people get in an office. If it's slow, they got nothing better to do. So I want you to be very aware of noise and aesthetics, how it looks and how it sounds, because people are going to be sitting there all day thinking about it if they hear it or if they see it. When you, if you go out to do the installation, you're going to have to make sure, what I would recommend is talking to the landlord. You know, years ago when I did Wi-Fi installations, I didn't always talk to the landlord. Most of the times I tried to. Some of the office staff, they don't want you to. They just want to put it in because they're paying for it and so on. But if you're going to work in a large enterprise building, and I'm going to use a large city, LA, Manhattan, Baltimore, DC, let's say someplace like that, Miami, Dallas, Chicago, any large city where you're going to have multiple tenants in one building where you may be doing work for all these people or several people, or you're hoping to, I would get to know the landlord, at least get to know the manager of the building, because he is going to help you out with the drawings, the type of building, and he's going to be very willing to help out the tenant. Tenants paying rent, remember, they have a little bit of control there. If they want better coverage in a building because the landlord didn't do it, then you know what? They're going to get it probably, especially if they're paying for it. Now, if the landlord's paying you, it's no problem. You're talking to the landlord. But the reason, back to my reason, for talking to the landlord and getting to know him, you don't want to sneak anything in, because I guarantee if you put a hole through a wall you shouldn't do, or if you hit a pipe or something bad happens, not saying it will, but it's likely if you're drilling through a wall that something could happen. You want the landlord to know exactly what you're going to do, and if something goes wrong, how you're going to fix it. Because they need to know that you are going to fix it. And you also know that the office manager is going to blame you, the installer, for not putting it in right. And the installer is going to blame the guy that did the site survey, the design, for not doing that right. You know, the fingers just keep pointing. They just go round and round in circles. So with all that said, talk with the landlord, talk with the site manager, the building manager, whatever, ahead of time. Get to know the building. Let them know what you're going to do. Let them know what you want to do. And get their phone number, because if there's a change in plans, you want them to know. Finally, you're going to put everything in. Hopefully it all powers up. If it doesn't power up, you're going to look at PoE. Everything's up and running. Now you got to test it. So you take your device around. You have to optimize it in the building. Supposedly, if they have the right server, everything will be set up properly. But they still want you to test it. Test upload speeds. Test download speeds. There might be a dead radio head. There might be a dead small cell. There could be problems, right? The backhaul isn't giving you the bandwidth you expected. But it's whoever's on site last, usually they're trying to get the installers to do this, because we want to do everything in one visit. You're going to have a device. You're going to test. And you're going to have to walk around the building to make sure it works, to make sure it hands off. And they should have all that configured in less than 30 minutes. And then you might need to take, I don't know how many units you have, but let's say 20 minutes per radio head or 20 minutes per small cell. So I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know what it really is. You're going to have to do testing. You'll do an upload test, a download test. You'll do a little bit of coverage. You know, you'll walk. If there's multiple radio heads, you'll walk from cell to cell to make sure it hands off properly and to make sure it's not interfering with itself, because they might have to adjust power levels. Now you know you're an expert. I wouldn't say expert. I'm no expert. I mean, there's so much to learn about this, but I'm just trying to share with you what I've learned in working with all these deployment companies over the past 2 years. All right? All right, everyone, be smart, be safe, and pay attention. And I hope this brings you closer to creating a solution for the customer. Because remember, it takes a team to put these out there. A lot of people used to look at small cells like a Wi-Fi deployment. Now they realize it's so much more, it's a little more complicated, and it really helps to have that experience. All right, see ya.